Good morning, it is Danger Dan here in the talk shop. Fixing to roll out to Nitty Gritty Chopper City down at Salmon Lake Park, just north of Crockett, Texas, home of the International Bluegrass Band Competition. Well, not really. I looked it up. I couldn't find anything about that except for the song from Robert Earl King. But the band is playing Saturday night, The Outbound Train. It's going to be fucking killer. It's going to be killer. I'm stoked. Can you tell? Can you tell I'm stoked? It's a beautiful morning here in Texas. Today's podcast is with Johnny Borgo. Recently on the way from Mama Tried down to Daytona, I stopped in Charlotte. Jake and the rest of the Prism guys, you know, welcomed me with open arms. We had a shop party, cooked some tacos. Me and Jake took the Pan Ams out for a ride. Instead of recording a podcast, we just went and rode, and it was sick. Up the Appalachian Trail. I mean, we were literally on the walking section of the Appalachian Trail at one point. It was pretty fucking rad until it was the fucking rock stairs we couldn't fucking go past. But it was really rad. Did I say it was really rad? We had a lot of fun. We didn't record a podcast. We just rode. But I went back to the shop, and I sat down with Johnny Borgo, and I was like, hey, dude, we should just record. We're going to sit here and bullshit. We might as well record a podcast, and we did. Johnny Borgo is from California, from Simi Valley. You know where Joe Dirt's parents are from? And, dude, he came out to North Carolina and now works at Prism Supply doing all the product shots. So we talked a little bit about photography. We talked a little bit about surfing, even though he doesn't surf. We talked about music. It's good. You're going to enjoy it. Let's get into it right now. This show, like all shows, is brought to you by MC Shop Tees, your t-shirt of the month club, the only way to support every local motorcycle shop. Shirts just went out for this month. You're going to be stoked. It's a rad shirt. Johnny Borgo works for Prism Supply. Prism Supply was, I believe, the third or fourth shop I featured about 4 years ago. Guys have been around for a while building rad bikes, building parts for your big twin and your Sportster chopper. Oh yeah, those guys are good. They put on a show called The Congregation. I believe it happens in September or October. Check it out if you're in and around Charlotte, or even if you're not, check it out. MCShopTees.com. Don't miss another month. We got women's sizes, men's sizes, and kids' sizes. Check it out. It's like Christmas every single month of the year. Like I said, Nitty Gritty is this weekend. Texas Fandango is going to be next month, and that is April 13th and 14th at the Gillespie County Fairgrounds, where you will also be able to catch another set from the Outbound Train. After that, we got Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival. And this year, I am throwing a creek party with Harley Davidson and Lead Sled Customs. Pat and his brother are going to be fucking cooking a whole pig. We're going to do a kickstart competition right there on the rocks. I got Anthony, the grounds manager. He's cutting me out 6x6 squares of wood so that everybody's kickstand doesn't fall on the rocks. And I got a $500 cash prize for whoever's bike starts every time. It's going to be fucking rad. Whiskey Dick, who I bring up at the end of this podcast, is going to be playing, as well as the Outbound Train. That's right. Right on the fucking... We're making a stage out of the Hayride trailer, and it'll be on the rocks at the river. Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival. Go to motorcyclesandmusic.com right now and get your ticket. June, Born Free California, July, I don't know what happens in July, August, Sturgis, you know the deal. There's a lot of shit happening this year. I've got a lot more podcasts coming out too. I recorded a bunch in Milwaukee. If you haven't been to the Mama Tried Flat Out Friday YouTube channel, go there now and check out the trivia show we recorded at the Harley-Davidson Museum. It was a lot of fun to record that podcast. Chris Ripstein, head of the archives, put together a great list of questions for us. It's a fun one. I had a lot of fun. Warren, Scott, and Jeremy were the contestants. I was the game show host, and Chris was right there filling in the blanks. It's a lot of fun. Check that podcast out, and there is more to come from that trip. Dude, if you want to support the show and you don't want to buy any t-shirts, go to DangerDansTalkShop.com. There is this Patreon support link. Go there right now and, you know, sign up. $5 a month goes a long way. It keeps this show rolling. I know I kind of went on there a hiatus there for a little while, but things are fucking cranking out. I just recorded another podcast with Sean Jackson. You may remember him from building a FXR Pan America. I definitely gave him a hard time on the podcast about that years ago. That's actually how we met. Funny story. I'll tell you that at the beginning of that podcast. And he built a panhead last year with a crazy aircraft. Some kind of aircraft starter. I can't remember what. Centrifugal force accumulator. It's wild shit. It's fucking wild shit. He's an invited builder for Born Free Texas as well. I say all that because we got more podcasts coming. Thank you all for listening. Let's get into this podcast right now. Oh, yeah. The Patreon support link. I got a $100 gift card for Lowbrow Customs. I will be giving to some random Patreon supporter this month. Knives by Nick has always been a huge supporter. Reach out to him. Go buy a knife right now. He's dealing with some family issues. His mother is not doing good. He is up in Iowa right now. Seeing to her, you know, her and the rest of the family. Nick, I love you, bud. Let's get into this podcast with, one more. Motorcycle Sherpa, dude, go check out MotorcycleSherpa.com. He's got amazing expeditions in Nepal, India, Mongolia. Right now he is in, my wife is trying to tell me something. My wife is in. Fucking Bear is in Nepal right now guiding a trip, and it looks like they're having a ton of fun. You need to go on one of these trips. MotorcycleSherpa.com. Okay, now let's get into this podcast.
Other than that.
Oh man, other than that, you're like a fucking open record.
Yeah.
Johnny, it's good to be back.
Good to have you here.
Dude, were you here last time I came through? You weren't, were you?
I don't think so. I might have been here, but not working here yet.
You weren't working here. Yeah. Because I can't figure out if it was 17 or 18.
Oh, okay. I was here 18 and 19, I want to say.
For the event. Yeah.
And then I moved here later of 2019.
Where were you before that?
I'm from California originally. And so I was living in Ventura at the time.
Ventura?
Yeah, about like an hour and a half north of LA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never hung out there.
It's sick.
Is it?
Great. Like, kind of sleepy beach town. It's kind of getting blown out a little bit now. Like, during COVID, a bunch of people from LA moved up there. And so it's getting pricey and more of like a California beach town. But before, it was like blue-collar, chill, surf beach town.
Really? Yeah. Above LA like that?
Yeah. Close enough.
That's in Northern California.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk to my boys in San Diego. Everything north of there is Northern California. Did you grow up there?
Yeah, I grew up there. I grew up in a town called Simi Valley, which was like the first Ventura County city from LA County. So, I mean,
I've heard that so many times and never knew where it was. Simi Valley? Yeah.
Yeah. It's in Joe Dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he's that's like, exactly like, where.
He says, my parents are from some hick-ass town called Simi Valley.
Oh, and now I can say man. That, too. Dude, that's legendary. That's like one of the greatest movies ever
made. Yeah,
I mean, it really is. Yeah. Dude, it's got Kid Rock in it, too.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, dude, I fucking like that movie a lot. I always think about, like, my kid, Breck Daniels, he just reminds me of Joe Dirt when he was a kid. Like, I should just leave you in a trash can, dude. I think it'll be good for you. That's the fucking Grand Canyon. Oh, dude, he's just a filthy kid, you know? His hair is always, like, fucking almost in a dread, you know? And yeah, he's a savage, dude. He's a fucking savage. So did you surf?
I did a little bit. I never, like, owned a board, so I never would, like, be out there all the time. But I had buddies that had boards, and they would take me out. And I always loved it. Like, it's sick being out there. But I just never, like...
It never ate you up, though?
Like, caught the bug. Which I have, like, so many friends that, like, I can never move away from the coast.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I get that, but I don't... Yeah, I don't fully feel that.
I never got you.
Never got me. Yeah.
See, I never cared about surfing at all. Like, really didn't care. I just went skateboarding. Mm-hmm. Went to California to skateboard. Had a chance to go surfing and fucking strap the board on my ankle. I'm, like, walking down the beach. I get to the water, put my feet in it, and I'm like,
it's fucking cold.
Fuck this, dude. I'm going back to the skate park, dude. Yeah. It was so cold.
Yeah.
But I went back years later, and my friend Scott, dude, Scott Conrad, fucking love this guy. We skated growing up, and he moved to San Diego to be a Navy SEAL.
Okay.
And he was sketching behind a car on a skateboard, and something happened, fucking wrecked, hit his head, and it got bad.
Yeah.
Like, bad. Like, yeah. Brain swelling. But the crazy part was, now, if I remember this correctly, he fucking got knocked out sketching behind a car. And then he, like, jumped up, came to, not that he remembers this, and just started fucking running from whatever, like, everybody who was trying to help him out, he just took off running.
Yeah.
Like, running through houses. Like, they had to catch him with a helicopter. Like, he was an escaped convict or some shit. And, you know, he almost fucking died. Had to have surgery. It was a, I mean, brain injury. It was a bad deal.
Yeah.
But anyways, a year goes by, and I go back out there. This is like my first time to California on my own. And it was to go see him and take him a puppy.
Yeah.
I'd like had this fucking pit bull and bred her with a Rhodesian Ridgeback. Had this fucking beautiful, beautiful set of puppies. And he was at a point where he, like, I thought he, you know, this would help. Like, he's fucking...
Needs a bud.
Yeah, he needed a bud. So I took him this fucking dog. Oh, my gosh. It was awesome. And that was the first time I smoked weed. Like, it was legal there. So this is probably, like, I don't know, 2005 or 6.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it had just gotten legal.
Yeah, get your med card there. And...
Well, we just had one of his buddies go get it.
Yeah.
And they came back with this shit that looked like earwax.
Yeah.
It fucked me up completely. Like, literally, we're over there at the neighbor's house, and I was like, Scott, we gotta go. Like, Scott, I can't hang out here. I, you know, like,
set you up with a dab right off the bat.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh no.
You know, and I smoked a lot of weed back then, but a fucking dab, it ruined me, dude.
Yeah, it'll slap you.
But anyways, that trip, he explained surfing to me in a way that gave me, like, a whole new respect for it. And, like, you know, just talking about the pecking order in, like, you know, it's not like a skate park. You can't build a, well, I guess now they are building breaks.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, before they were doing that, like, you got the break at these certain spots on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, now people, like, set up their lives to be able to go out there with their surfboard when the break is right. You know, like, whatever else they got going. Okay, now you got that guy or, you know, those guys and, well, whoever has the most style and most dominance gets the best spot, you know, and then you got to, like, you bro down. Like, you know, it's just like a whole dynamic that I didn't understand.
And it's crazy because they're constantly thinking about it because they're constantly, like, thinking about tides and thinking, and, like, so it could be, like, any time of the day where they're like, ooh, like, I'm ready to go. Like, it's hitting right now. I got to go. And it's, like, something they're always on the back of their mind, like, oh, like, the tides are coming.
And they're living in a place where it's not cheap to live.
Mm-hmm.
And their life still revolves around something that they don't get paid for.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. When I lived in New York, I lived in New York for a little bit too, like, in between. And I had friends from Ventura that were living there, and they lived in Rockaway Beach, like, right on the water, basically. And that was, like, one of the only places where I, like, kind of started feeling to get the bug, because they were really explaining to me, like, how breaks work and, like, keeping up with the tides and like just how into it they were. Also living in New York City when it's like
the complete opposite. Once you get out of the water, you're in a totally different environment.
And the only time waves really would hit there was in the winter. So they'd be out there in blizzards while it's snowing. There's snow covering the beach, and now they're in their full.
They had to have like a lot of fucking.
Yeah, they had the crazy wetsuits.
Well, I mean, like a lot of respect for it.
They love it. They love it. They had to do it.
Yeah.
So it's sick. And I feel that way with motorcycles. So, like, I understand, like, where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Fully. Just a different aspect.
We didn't go surfing. We skated. I took him skateboarding. He hadn't skated since the accident. And I was like,
let's go, dude.
And I didn't know it. He had a friend with him the whole time, which come to find out was like his handler, like another Navy SEAL that was there to like make sure he didn't go skateboarding or get drunk.
Yeah.
And I show up. Mm-hmm. that's all we did, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it was awesome.
The handler join in? His buddy join in at all?
No. It was I had never seen my buddy Scott in that element, over there in California. So it was just like if his new friend that didn't skate, didn't partake, he was just hanging out. Yeah. Like, I didn't put it all together until later on.
He was there to keep him out of trouble.
Yeah.
But I was there.
I was there to, like, bring him life back. Yeah. You know, like, here's a dog. Like, let's fucking,
let's go.
Yeah. But I didn't get back into the surfing bug until I went down to Costa Rica I guess it wasn't last year. It was the year before on the bike. And my buddy Terry, he explained it to me in another way. Like, so that was, like, the California way or, like, you know, kind of like it was a little different. In Costa Rica, they really explained the tides more, you know? Like, my buddy was always paying attention to that shit, but he didn't explain it, how it all worked. And, maybe we were on some paper or some liquid, the full moon, on the sixth spot in Costa Rica. And they finally explained to me how the tides work. Like, I didn't understand, I know the fucking, the water moves.
Yeah.
But they explained it to me to where I was able to grasp it, how the moon, I knew that it had something to do with the moon too, but the moon pulls the water. So the water is like following the moon around, and the wobble of the earth, affects that too. But it's like I always thought it was like the earth, the wobble of the earth. I don't know.
Like,
but I,
pulling
but I,
the water back.
And I've also seen like, now I've seen like visual,
Diagram, like they do the animated thing where
the water follows, the ocean or anyways, it's interesting.
That's just crazy.
I know. I mean, I just really have an appreciation for it because I love skateboarding, but I also love like outdoors and nature and to rely. It's just like kind of like racing at the salt flats. Like you got to do a lot of preparation all year long.
Yeah.
To hopefully the weather's right and the salt's right, where those dudes, they get a little bit more reward every day or, during the season. Uh-huh. But it's reliant on everything, shit that's out of your control.
Totally.
Which I think is fucking cool.
Totally.
Which motorcycles I think is a little bit different because it is in your control.
It's in your control. Yeah. For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once you gather the information,
Yeah.
As you're learning, you're like... Why is it doing that?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So when you were in California, did you ride?
Yeah. Yeah. I got my first bike out there. I wasn't riding a ton really yet. I'd just gotten a bike, and then I'd moved to the East Coast. It was a 74 Honda XL250, so a little enduro.
Yeah, sick.
And
was that one with a 23-inch front?
Yeah, but I like swapped it and put like dual 18s on it, so it
kind of sick.
Like, looked like a little like it was like a little tracker, flat tracker looking thing. And I worked like out of town, so I'd have to take it on all the back roads to like get to work on it.
Oh, sick! That's fun.
Which was fun, but I was like this is California, I should be ripping the highways. And shortly after I got that thing running, I moved to Boston, actually. My sister lives in Boston, so I went and moved up there with her for a little bit. And it was like the perfect bike for Boston, because I could just rip around the city super easy and get everywhere.
Was it plated? Was it like a legit bike?
Or? Yeah, it was plated. I don't think I ever got it legal in Massachusetts, but it was California plated and good to go.
Good enough.
But when I was living out there, I was like, New England's sick. Like, I want to explore it more. And I like hadn't even really thought about Harleys yet. And I actually saw like a Max Schaff Born Free video online, and I was like,
Whoa.
I need a Harley.
Were you skating at this point?
I skated growing up. I'd skated growing up. I didn't really know him.
Did you know Max from skating?
I didn't know
skating?
Max from skating, no. Okay. I was into motorcycles, and then, like, online, that motorcycle video popped up, and I was like, whoa, I need to get a Harley. I need something bigger so I could, like, ride around and travel around and, like, see things on my bike. So I bought a Sportster out there. It's actually the same red Sportster I still have. Bought that out there.
In Boston?
In Boston, yeah. Craigslist at the time. Didn't really do anything to it. Just rode it around New England for a few years. And then,
what were you doing there for work?
I worked at a coffee shop. Yeah, I was young. I was like 18 or 19.
You were able to save up enough money at the coffee shop to buy a Harley Davidson?
Yeah.
Boy, times have changed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was $2,100.
Damn. Well, I guess you're living with your sister. She wasn't making you pay rent?
I was paying rent, but not much. And like, I had that Honda. I sold it. I think I got like $1,200 for it. And then
you're
like,
halfway there.
Yeah, I'm halfway there, dude. I can get a hog, dude. Let's go. Yeah, and so I had that for a bit. Moved back to California and then rode it a ton around California, up and down the coast. Rode it cross country when I moved here. And so that sporty has like been all over the place now.
Where did New York fit into this? You mentioned New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I moved here in 2019 and lived here for about a year. Broke up with my ex and had like...
Is that what got you here? Was her?
No. So we were both living in California, and like, we're like, this is so expensive. Like, we should try somewhere else.
Any place
else? Let's just get out. I'd met the prison boys through her. Actually, she worked at Easy Riders at the time, doing bike events. Yeah.
There's like fucking 15 Easy Rider trophies in there.
Yeah. So she planned their bike shows, and so I'd come out and help them with the bike show, just like for like part-time gig.
The Easy Rider bike shows.
Yeah, the Easy Rider bike shows. And so...
Was that when they were doing the rodeo and shit, like the tractor drags and stuff?
Yeah,
did they do that out here?
No, they do that in like Ohio and Michigan, I think.
Of course they do it in Ohio. Yeah, those Chillicothe. Fucking redneck motherfuckers.
Yeah. But so yeah, the first show was Charlotte, and I was like, so you want to come? I'm like, yeah, sure. Never thought of going to Charlotte before. It's a random ass town. Sure, whatever. Went. The Easy Rider shows were like kind of whack. It was like a bunch of big wheel baggers usually.
Really? And
just like early
2000s. Wasn't choppers?
No, it was tons of big wheel baggers. And then, but Prism guys showed up with Zach's El Camino and two, like a knucklehead and like a shovelhead in the back. And I was like, oh, these guys are sick.
Yeah.
These guys are tight. The company I was working for at the time, it was like a motorcycle clothing company called Iron and Resin.
And, And
Jake and Zach were like, had known the brand. And
that's so from California. Those guys are in California.
Yeah, they're
right?
In Ventura. Yeah. And so.
Don't they have like a shop out there? Like a full on?
Like a retail store, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I think. Do you know a guy named Preston? Preston.
He worked at Red Bull.
Yeah. You fucking know Preston?
Yeah.
I fucking love that guy.
I only met him once. We met on a photo shoot, but we've just been like Instagram friends since.
Oh, dude, he's a great gangster.
Dude. Had a sick ass van for a long time. Oh, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he used to ride in a ball of steel. No. Him and his brother Brandon, dude.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. He was like.
Balls of steel stunts, dude. Yeah. He's a bad motherfucker, dude.
That's sick.
Yeah. He's sick, dude. Yeah. I fucking love that guy. I think now, what is he doing now? He's working with...
He was working for 805 last time I saw him.
805. Now it's like a seltzer water or some shit.
Okay.
Dude, from what I took it last time, we talked about the Red Bull gig. He was in Texas. I think we went to like Fuzzy's Tacos or some shit. He was like, yeah, they just like pay me to make sure the party's cool.
Yeah, sure, like, everything's running,
like,
all right.
He's like a party instigator.
Yeah.
You know, like that,
like
was
a party,
his
chaperone kind of. When just before, make sure everything's going good.
Yeah, like before they, you know, they worked for Monster, they were, you know, worked with Honda. And then at this point he was like, yeah, you know, they throw a party and I'm supposed to make sure everybody's having fun.
Yeah.
Like, what a sick job and what a great guy for it.
Yeah.
Because he's a fun dude.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Dude, that's cool. You fucking know Preston.
Yeah.
So Iron and Resin.
But yeah, so I was working.
You're working with those guys.
Zach and Jake knew the brand, so we kind of hit it off right away. They took me out to the Thirsty Beaver after the show.
No way. Dude, what a great spot. They took me there yesterday.
Perfect, yeah. It was so sick. And when they took me, they hadn't built the apartments yet.
Fucking grungy.
Kind of, yeah. There was just like a chain link fence surrounding it. Like they were getting started.
They were building.
But everybody's like, yeah, this is the bar. Like they held out. They fucking held out.
We pulled up there like at 4:55, right?
Mm-hmm.
We wait 5 minutes and this dude pulls up on a bagger with leather pants. Bartender.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's working.
Was it Logan, probably?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, the man. The man. Yeah, he rules.
It was awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, and then so from there, I think they came to Born Free like a few months after that show.
Yeah.
Came and hung out with us in California. And we just hit it
off. Did Iron and Resin, do they do much at Born Free?
I think we used to have a booth there. Yeah. But
and they kind of focus on the motorcycle surfboard crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. It's like a Deus-ish vibe.
Deus?
Yeah.
Is that how you say that?
I think so.
That's how you say it. Deus. Deus.
Deus.
Deus. Deus Emporium.
Yeah. That place.
Do they have a storefront in California?
Yeah, they have one in Venice.
Venice.
Which is pretty cool. Like, it's like a cool coffee shop attached to it. It's a good place to stop in Venice.
Yeah, I went to one in Costa Rica.
Okay.
Went to one in Chile.
How were those ones?
Sick as fuck, dude.
It's funny because I've heard it, like, they're from Australia, but I've heard that in Australia they're like the Ed Hardy of Australia, like kind of bro-y, like weird vibes, which I thought was funny.
I mean, I don't know exactly I know there's a guy named Forrest Minchinton that works with them, or maybe it's his company. I don't even fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got he was part of that shop in Costa Rica, and his dad had a surfboard shaping shop within this place.
Mm-hmm.
I think his dad fucking died recently. But Forrest is a bad motherfucker. Raises the Baja.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he can rip. But that's an interesting company because it's like
worldwide,
dude, like big time. And like in Chile, the shit, everything was really expensive in Chile, but that store had some rad stuff that was really expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
Like not even, I don't know if it was a dose, I don't even know. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting brand. Yeah. Like that is a very interesting brand. Yeah.
But I like their shop.
Yeah, like, they got rad shit.
There's like one of the few places in Venice you could park. Like, if you're on a bike, you could park anywhere. But like, it's nice. You could pull up there. They got like bike parking. You grab a coffee real quick and chill out instead of.
Dude, the spot in Costa Rica was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
It was so sick.
Like the
it was a hostel. There was rooms.
Oh, there was a
restaurant. Like, they had a fucking Airstream trailer, trailer restaurant in there. Then they had, like, surf and skate shop. Like, the lobby, if you will, for the hostel was, like, filled with motorcycle shit.
Yeah.
Surf shit.
That's so cool.
And the break was, like, a block away.
That's so cool.
It was fucking cool.
Yeah, I feel like they could, in other countries, they probably have the opportunity to make a lot cooler experiences.
It's yeah.
Hard to do something like that in Venice.
Dude, have you been to Costa Rica?
No. No, I've hardly been out of the country.
dude, you go to Costa Rica, you better just take some stuff.
Yeah.
Just fucking hang out.
Just stay.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good. Oh, so you met the guys at Bornford. Was that when Jake was an invited builder? When he built the peach bike, or
it was the
what color was it? He built a pink bike, right?
Or no, like it was a like a green blue.
A green, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was that year.
I don't know why I would have thought he built a pink bike.
He looks like the type. But yeah, and then fast forward to like 2019, me and my chick.
We went
like,
down this road. I was asking how you got to New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Or in how I got here first, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So go ahead. Sorry.
But so, yeah, to move here, I just kind of hit up one of the dudes that worked here. Alistair, he isn't working anymore. He's actually my roommate now. But I hit him up, and I was like, hey, how hard would it be to find a job in Charlotte? And he texts me back right away. And he's like, Dean from Dice needs help, and he's looking for someone. I was like, oh, shit, okay, sick. So that, like, next couple months was congregation, so I went to congregation and met with Dean, and, like, interviewed or whatever, and he's like, yeah, like, hire you on.
Come on,
so, yeah, originally moved out here, was working for Dice for, like, 6 months, doing all sorts of just, like, video, photo, shipping, all
everything
sorts of
magazines
shit.
Need.
Everything in magazines need, just being like Dean's kind of right hand man.
Well, so the photograph shit, like, did you go to school for that, or is that something you just picked up because you're fucking?
So in high school, I took photo classes. I'd always like taken photos, and then in high school, I was like, there was a photo class, and I'll take it, and just like fell in love with it. I contemplated hard about going to like photo school after. But everybody I talked to is just like, don't do it. You're gonna
just go take photos.
Just go take photos. Just yeah. Like take as many photos as you can. Like you're gonna waste so much money at school. Like it might help you find a job in the future, but you're just gonna be paying off student loans forever.
Really? So, that was the advice you got.
Yeah. I had a bunch of friends that
got that's
out.
Good advice. Yeah, I mean it really advice. Is.
They're like, I wish I would have just went and worked and like apprenticed under someone, which I didn't do, but like I just kinda just kept shooting and at Iron and Resin.
Did you shoot for them?
I shot for them, but I didn't start shooting for them. I like told them I was into it and started working retail first. And then I would like do all their events. So like if they went to Born Free or something, like I'd go and run the booth and that kind of stuff. And then eventually like their e-commerce assistant quit and they're like, oh, we need someone. Would you be into this? And I'd be like, yeah, sure. So I'd start doing that, doing like all their product photos
okay. At
first. And then like, they'd be like, oh, we need like a quick photo of this. And so I started like little lifestyle photos here and there and kind of went from there.
It's crazy. I mean, because that's like a new thing kind of, right? Like the, maybe not a new thing, but like it's been widespread over the last like 10 years probably, like where people have been.
They need photos. Like, companies need
well,
photos,
like pushing that lifestyle thing.
Yeah,
right? You know,
too,
like,
too.
I mean, I guess that kind of started, you know, really with like fucking snowboarding, I think is really the company or the brand or the sport that really showcased like, and it was because they did it so well and there wasn't competitions, I think,
mm-hmm.
But like they kind of like laid down that foundation of lifestyle, like we're just selling shit not because we win, you know. Before that it was like you got to get on a podium to represent a brand,
mm-hmm.
So you can make it into a magazine or get an interview with somebody.
Yeah.
And then, you know, skate, maybe surfing probably had it going on too.
I mean, skating too, just like the yeah. I mean, I remember watching skate videos back in the day. It was just like buddies fucking around. You're like,
yeah,
damn, that's
yeah,
sick.
That's cool.
Like, they're just having fun. That's what me and my buddies do. Like,
well, I guess when I say snowboarding like really did it on a professional level, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
You know, like they really nailed it.
Yeah.
And showed, oh yeah, you can sell shit just because it looks cool.
Yeah. Don't have to be winning.
So Iron and Resin. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, they are a fucking lifestyle brand.
Yeah,
like
for
that,
sure.
I mean, that is.
For sure. I mean, it's just selling clothes.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was.
Do they make
fun.
Their own clothes? Or was that, they're just like a, I don't know, like a just a store selling.
No, they make their own clothes.
They
like,
do.
Yeah, like get them made by U.S. vendors and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, when I started there, they started out as like a full like U.S. made brand, and I think they've ventured off into like getting some.
That's tough.
Yeah, they're having a hard time doing it. So we all were like, "Yeah, let's start making some money. Let's go
see where else we can get this stuff done." Yeah. Oh, it sucks that it's come to that because, you know, there was a lot of people in the companies that like wanted to, you know, support local shit. Yeah. And it just got difficult.
Yeah,
you know?
It was also hard because quality wasn't there either.
Quality, yeah.
Which is the biggest bummer.
Fucking high as shit.
Yeah. You're like paying this crazy amount and you're like, oh, my button's still popping off. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
What the hell is going on? You get something made in Taiwan or something, it's like perfect, like crazy fabrics and like technical and.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
Where we're at.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah.
But yeah, so I moved here, worked for DICE for a bit.
Were you working for DICE in 21?
It was 2019, like 2019, 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. And then like things slowed down there and my roommate Alistair that was working there, he quit. And they were like, oh, we need someone.
Working here.
Yeah, he quit working here at Prism. And so Jake, like, needed someone. And so I started doing, like, part-time. I was, like, half and half for a while. Like, working in the morning for Dean and then just coming here and ship packages for Prism. And, yeah, it was sick.
It's a good group here.
Yeah, it was a great group. It was sick.
I mean, Jake has always had, like, good people around him.
Yeah.
Like, I've really appreciated
that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, everybody I work with is like my best friend. Like, this is who I hang out with, you know? Like,
I mean, that is a very fucking special thing.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I hope that nobody here takes it for granted, you know? Because I bet it is easy to do after a certain amount of time where it's yeah. like.
I check myself a lot where I'm like, yo, this is sick. Like, because I hear of so many friends that are like, oh, like, my coworker this. And I'm like, dude, I'm so stoked to go into work.
My coworker, dude. Yeah. He ran out of cigarettes the other day.
it's just the best. Come in, get to see Derek every day. And all the boys, just, like, it's great. It's yeah. great.
I mean, when I came out for that first congregation, trying to think, I met Jake before that. I think it was through Jim Harper and him coming to Texas. Maybe he came for the Southern Throwdown. Because I met him well before I went to Born Free. Yeah, that had to have been it. He came to the Southern Throwdown, probably through Oliver.
Maybe, yeah.
And, but yeah, I always had fucking a great group of dudes with him. Mm-hmm. You know, it was fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a special spot, you know. This whole space, dude. When I first showed up here, like, this looked like a bum hangout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Now Google's here, dude.
Google Fiber's here. Yeah. We got food stalls. And
dude, it's crazy. It's so crazy.
Yeah, we used to have free reign over this place for a long time.
I mean, how much has it grown since you've been here?
Oh, I mean, even when I first moved here, it was still only this, like, line of businesses.
Okay.
And none of them were retail at the time, so it was just, like, a bunch of artists kind of in here. And we'd be the only people here at night. But, like, the only people. And then when I moved here, I think shortly after, like, food stalls opened, and then, like, a brewery showed up, but it was still, like, pretty sleepy. And then now, like, there's offices, and, like, they're building apartment buildings at the end.
Huge apartment buildings.
Yeah.
How are the neighborhoods around here?
Like, rough.
Are they?
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah. I think there's the houses across Graham Street, which are, like, that way. I think they're, like, going up in price. It's, like, I'll drive through there. The neighborhood looks nice. But, like, behind this way, it's pretty
rough. That's where
you
want to buy right now.
Yeah.
That's where you want
to
buy.
For real. Which, like, it's sad because I bet the prices are probably already crazy.
Yeah, they've already cracked up.
Yeah.
Those guys are just sitting around going, yeah, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then right across that, they're building new, like, townhomes that are, like, starting at, like, 500. And it's just like, that's right in the ghetto, guys. You know, it's still right there.
People like new shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much people like new
shit.
Yeah,
it's true.
Like, they appreciate it. No matter the quality.
Yeah.
It's like, it's new.
It's new. It's brand new.
It's fucking new.
Brand new. It's full IKEA.
I don't have to worry about shit. Maybe. Maybe. So you got a shovel head now, I see.
Yeah. It's getting there.
Yeah. Where'd you get that?
Close by. It was a buddy that I actually met through the Easy Rider shows. I always see on Instagram, he just has like a hoard of bikes and motors and stuff. So I hit him up. I was like, hey, I'm looking for a cone shovel. And he's like, I've got this STD generator shovel that I'm trying to sell. I'm like, hell yeah. So I picked that up for a pretty good deal and sold the roller. I had like a raked roller, sold that and bought like a
Craftek frame.
No, it's a... Oh, that frame? Yeah, I have no idea what it was. It had a custom construction title on it, raked, all, like, poorly molded.
Big fucking section in the back for a fat rear tire?
Oh, yeah.
Did it?
No. No, it was like I think it was, like, a swing arm shovel frame that was raked.
Okay.
Or something, but it had some crazy long wide glide on it, too, and, like, the tallest apes. Like, so, like...
Taller than mine?
Taller than your apes, for sure. With like 6-inch risers too under.
Oh, dude, my front end when I got it, it had like 6-inch risers and 16-inch apes.
Yeah.
So sick.
Tall as hell.
So sick.
Just hanging on.
I fucking love it, dude. I got to replace my ape hangers. They are fucked.
A little bent up.
They are, yeah.
A little bent up. Might be due.
Yeah. So what frame is that now?
So I found like a 74 shovel frame or something like that.
Yeah.
And then bought that and got the V-twin hardtail.
Mm-hmm. Did it come with a title?
No, but I think the numbers are good. Praying the numbers are good. Well, I've checked to make sure it's not stolen at least.
How'd you do that? Through the police?
Yeah, we have a buddy that's a detective close by and we just send him a VIN and he'll be like, oh yeah, it's good. So it's not, like, stolen or anything, but I'm just hoping it's not a pain getting the title if it's, like, title in someone else's name or, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how the bonded works. Like, when you get a bonded title, do they reach out to the last owners?
Yeah.
Do they send something or do they just, like, let it slide
yeah.
and see if somebody says something?
I probably should have figured that out before I hardtailed it, but across that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, from what I hear in North Carolina, you just, like, run a plate that has the right year number.
Yeah, but you should still technically have it registered.
Technically.
But I could probably get away with
it. Yeah, for long
I mean,
enough.
The cops don't care about bikes out here. Like, at least in Charlotte, I'd be worried maybe on a trip or something, but in Charlotte, I think it'd be...
Yeah.
They don't care. They got the dirt bike dudes ripping around, doing wheelies everywhere, so they're just... They don't care.
Really, these are pretty good dirt bike clubs.
Yeah. We got some really boys out here.
For real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's sick. Once the weather gets nice, there's big squads of them ripping through the city.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Four-wheelers, two-strokes.
Four wheels, dirt bikes, just ripping wheelies.
What color are they?
The bikes?
Yeah. KTM, Yamaha.
KTM, Yamahas, dude.
Kawasaki's, what are they rolling?
Yeah.
What is everything?
I feel like I see yellow. I feel like it's a lot of Yamahas. And the blue's Yamaha, too, right?
Blue's Yamaha.
Yeah.
Yellow's Suzuki.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Seen a lot of those.
Yeah?
A lot of those.
I mean, the bang for your buck on a Yamaha is up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I always want to join them on the chopper. I did ride with them for a second on the chopper one time where I was just, like, riding through town, and they came ripping through doing wheelies, and I was riding with them and, like, giving them thumbs up, and they were stoked. So that was sick.
Dude, I ran into a crew down in south of Miami.
Oh, sick.
It was wild as fuck. Dude, cops showed up. Like, they all just Dude, it was so fucking cool.
That rules.
They were all just like riding. They literally were riding circles around me, looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing this here? And I'm just smiling like, this is so sick.
I lived in New York when DMX died. And they did a...
What?
They lived, did it.
That's... So we... That's what I... This is... How did you get to New York?
Oh. So, yeah.
And where were you at in the city? Because... I got to hang out in the city for the first time this last year, and I was like, dude, I had so much fun on my chopper.
So I ended up there. I just was living here and always wanted to live.
Like before working with Dean and Prism?
No, I was working for both of them. I was working for just Prism at the time.
And you were like, fuck you guys. Before I get too settled in, I'm going to the city.
Kind of like. Yeah. I don't know. I just had like had this crisis where I was like, dude, I just need to do something. I need to go live somewhere else. I was like, I've always wanted to live in New York. I had a friend that lived there, and they're like, yeah, I can help you try to find a spot. Like, you can make this work for sure. Like, I make it work. You can make it work. And so, found a sublet in the East Village, which was sick.
That's nice, right?
Nice. Super sick area. Like, a lot of people, when they move to New York, they like can't move to Manhattan just because it's so expensive. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And it was like a...
East Village is in Manhattan?
In Manhattan, yeah. Lower East Side area. And it was $900 a month for a two-bedroom in the East Village.
What?
It was like a super rent-stabilized apartment, and the people living there...
That means
there,
like it's fucking... rent-stabilized is the word you used.
Yeah, yeah. So... The lady I rented from, she moved there in like the 90s when the rent was, I think they paid a little bit more than that, but not much, and just never moved out, and they couldn't really raise the rent because it was a rent-stabilized place. And so they had, this was during COVID.
That's insane.
Yeah, insane.
That's
sick.
Insane.
So
dude.
Sick.
Two bedrooms?
Two bedroom. Yeah, it was fourth floor. There was like a rooftop. Like a sketchy rooftop with like no railing on it, but you go out, hang out there. It was sick as hell. And
did you have your bike there?
No, which was a bummer.
What? So, you never would have came back, dude.
I know. So at the time, Prism was working on the hardtail, on their Sportster hardtail, and so I'd left my bike back because they were for them to use it.
Ah, it's so nice of you.
Yeah, nice of me to get it. Hardtail. That was sick. But left up there, and I had like had another sporty that I was wrenching on when I lived up there. That it was like some Myrtle Beach bike that I got that was super crusty, and I had to like rebuild the primary and do all sorts of shit. But I never quite got it running while I was living there, so I didn't have a bike, which is a bummer.
Where were you working on the bike?
I rented a garage in Queens.
What the fuck were you doing for work there? You got a garage in Queens, a fucking two-bedroom pad.
Well, it was $900 a month. Well, when I first moved there, I was working remote for just some e-bike company.
Okay.
Doing e-commerce shit for them. So I was working remote for them. And I got laid off like a few months in. And then I worked for a coffee shop for a while, which that was sick, actually. It was super fun.
Making coffee.
Yeah.
People like coffee.
They love it. I love it. No, it was sick. It was cool. It was like this couple, and they'd never had an employee before. It was like their coffee shop.
The first guy.
Yeah, they'd been running it for like a year and a half by themselves, and they were like, all right, we're getting kind of busy. We need to hire someone. And my friends from Rockaway, the surfers, knew him because he was like a surf guy. They're like, oh, my buddy just got laid off, and he's looking for work.
Damn.
Work for them, it was sick. It was so cool. Just
work. He was like, I need to go surfing.
Yeah, I need to go surf. Work for me.
I didn't realize that anybody surfed in New York. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's weird. There's like kind of a bit of a crowd there too. And like there's some surf shops.
I bet there is
too.
A crowd. Yeah. If there's a fucking wave to surf in the world, there's a crowd.
Yeah.
If there's a wave to surf in New York, there's definitely a fucking crowd.
Yeah.
Wow. But you didn't have a bike to ride.
Didn't have a bike to ride.
What was the chill time like? What'd you do in the city? Did you go paint shit? Did you go take photos? What'd you do?
Took photos. I ride bicycles too, so I'd ride my bicycle around there a lot, which was super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun. Like ripping through Manhattan, like ripping through the traffic, going through Times Square on your bike.
And it was fun walking through that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you
know, it was real fun riding my chopper, but
yeah.
I can imagine the bicycle's got a fucking great spot.
It was sweet. I'd always do this loop where I'd go from my apartment, like, up to Central Park, like, do, like, the bike path loop around Central Park, and then come back down and ride through Times Square, like, at night, but it feels like daytime because there's just so many lights around you. It was so sick. So sick. And it's, like, similar feeling to your when you're riding a motorcycle, kind of. But...
Well, maybe when you don't have one.
Yeah, exactly. I kept thinking they had the rental scooters there. It was like, not lying, but it was something like that. Like the little rental electric scooter. I was like, damn, maybe I just go hog out on one of those.
I mean, if you got a bike, though, like your pedal power, like there's a lot to be said. You know, I always wanted to go do the Broadway bomb.
What's that?
Dude, they used to, oh my gosh.
Your phone, dude, I asked if you needed it earlier.
I know. The Broadway bomb, dude. They used to have this a skateboard race down Broadway.
Oh, okay.
And it was like total outlaw.
Mm-hmm.
They just roll up in the heat of the day, the middle of the traffic, and just race down Broadway, dude. Fucking through the car, sketching cars, sidewalks. I mean, just.
That's sick.
It looks so sick, dude.
That is sick.
I mean, and I think it got like. Too big, like it was out of hand. Like, I mean, people were coming in from all over the world, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
to race down Broadway in New York City.
Sounds
like,
fun as hell.
I know. Yeah. It sounds fun as hell. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot of skating, like, to commute there, too.
Yeah.
Like, once I realized, like, oh, I can't really take my bicycle on the subway easy, I would skate to get places, and it was so much easier.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, how far away did you live from the coffee shop?
So it was maybe like a block skate to the subway. I'd take the subway like 3 or 4 stops, and then it was like a mile from the subway.
Oh, fuck. So you were quite a ways.
So I was quite a ways. And I kept doing that. I'd like walk, and I was like, this is taking too long. Like, this is stupid. Like, I want to get there
faster.
How
was skate on the sidewalk? Did you skate on the sidewalk, street? I mean, what was the move?
Usually the bike lane.
Oh, bike lane.
Yeah, skating the bike lane.
Did you build a deck for it? It was like your park deck with fucking shitty hard wheels and shit?
It was just a regular park deck, but I had some like softer wheels on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're still like skatable, but they're softer.
You didn't go full on like city?
Longboard. City board. Deck? No.
Dude, I got a fucking badass city deck. It's like... 11 and a half inches wide.
Oh, yeah.
Single,
I like the wide
single kick
too.
Tail, fucking super concave, reverse kingpin trucks.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I mean, you can, like, pump it like a fucking slalom deck if you want to. You don't even have to put your foot down and just go for miles.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's a real good one.
Yeah.
Big old ABEC 11s on it.
Rips.
Yeah, it'd be so good for this. The only thing that sucks about it is, like, if you have to jump up over, like, any substantial curb.
Yeah, it's heavy.
It's a
big old log.
Like, yeah, it's a... But it'll roll over a lot of shit, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at speed, you know, you're, like, you're always praying that
everything... Everything's going to go well.
Like, you release your weight from the board, and you just hope that the board kind of goes across whatever you're trying to finagle over.
Oh, yeah. I had, like, one time where I was skating through a crosswalk, and it hit a crack and just slammed, of course. But on the crosswalk, there's just cars sitting there waiting to go, and I'm like, fuck. Just get up and don't look at anybody. I had, like, a perfect bruise on my thigh from my cell phone.
So you straight up rectangle?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Shit.
Got to piss real quick. Mm-hmm. Entertain these folks. What do we got here?
We got a few beers. We got more in the fridge.
I know, that's what I was asking.
Well, maybe grab another box.
So did you go to any shows in New York?
I went to the block party.
You went to the block party?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like right like a week or two after I moved there. So
what
like
year was this?
2019.
19?
Mm-hmm. It's usually in like September, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
September.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved there like September, like first of September or something.
And you went to that first one?
Yeah.
That's a fucking party.
Yeah,
it
was sick. I mean, I didn't really know anybody yet, so I was just kind of walking around, but like, this is tight.
Dude, it's crazy, like, how much, how much pull the bikes had there, you know, like, all around, like, not just in the venue, but, like, the surrounding streets, it was like.
Yeah, they ruled it for a bit.
Do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. I mean, I felt that way the whole time I was in the city on a bike. But I pretty much feel that way whenever I'm on a bike anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like park anywhere, vehicle
to go anywhere. Dude, do whatever I want. You know, everybody else wishes they were on this chopper.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel most of the time. But, like, what about, like, music? Did you go to any punk shows there? Like, was there, I mean, was there a bar you'd hang out at? Because we went to some fucking cool-ass bars, dude.
It was COVID time, so it was a little weird. But there was a bar around the corner from my apartment.
Yeah, it was real fucking weird, wasn't it?
When I first moved there, everything was open for the most part, but like restaurants and bars was like all outdoor. So they'd have like little patio things outside.
They still have them.
Yeah.
They never went back in, dude.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's funny, I was like meandering through the streets and I'm like, this is like a pop-up patio. Like, I don't think that this wasn't
meant to be here forever.
Yeah, like, or like, it wasn't here forever or before now. Like, I could tell that, you know.
This was rigged.
It was new, essentially. Yeah. Like, this, you know, because the way that they do, like, the planning and stuff with that city, like, if all these places were going to have patios on the sidewalk, they would have built them a little differently. Yeah. You know, like, it wouldn't have been the same. Like, some of them were using, instead of like putting a patio on the sidewalk, they use the parking lane.
Oh yeah,
as a patio.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
which is something they do a lot in South America.
Okay.
But I guess maybe that's post COVID down there.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought it was just I'm just realizing this.
Yeah,
like, it's maybe that was new to them as well.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So did you see any music there? I mean.
Dude, I don't think I saw any music. I did go to, like, there were some cool jazz bars and things like that, so I went and saw some, like, shit like that.
Really?
Yeah. But no bands, like, came through really while I was there.
No big shows?
No.
Or
no.
Small shows?
No. Some random little, like, comedy shows, like, outdoor comedy shows and things like that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Those are sick.
Who'd you see up there?
No one big.
Nobody
big.
We know of?
No.
You didn't see Shane Gillis talking about retards and gays?
No. He wasn't playing New York. He wasn't
performing. He's definitely not in New York. No, he definitely wasn't. My buddy Max, he's the he's one of the editors at Chopper's magazine. Uh-huh. And he made a post the other day about how, like, the pendulum is swinging because Shane, who got fired for SNL for some bullshit, or, you know, some shit that was offensive.
Yeah,
they didn't think it was very funny.
Yeah.
They brought him back,
yeah,
and
he
says,
crushed it.
He says gay and retard, and they're like, that's okay now, you know? Like, they loved it. Like, so the pendulum is swinging. It's like, how far is it going to go? Like, what is going to be okay in the next year to say, you know? Like, you know, you should not be able to say faggot. You know, like, that may be a common term again. It may be like, okay, when we were growing up, you know, like, you're gay if you can't skateboard, you know? like, how far is it going to go, you know? It's interesting.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good resurgence of comedy. It's been coming.
Oh, dude, it's been great.
It's been great.
It's been great. Who have you been listening to?
I listened to the Kill Tony all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. We got pretty stuck on that at the shop. It's so good.
I was telling Jake he's got to bring Alex down, and me, him, and her, and my wife need to go to a Kill Tony show.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go to the Mothership. I haven't been, and it's right, you know,
yeah, it's
like
right
3 hours away.
Yeah. Yeah, every time I listen, they're like, damn, I want to go to a show.
Yeah.
I
want
to go
for
this.
Real.
I don't know if I'd want to go up there, but.
Oh, man. Dude, for years, I've always, like, dreamed up comedy bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, too, but I've never really wanted to do them.
Yeah, that's a tough place to start, you know? Yeah. Let's get roasted by the best, dude.
Yeah, it might be the best, though. It might be the most fun.
I mean, if you're in it, if that's really what you want to do.
We always talk about it at the shop. Like, if we were to go, do you think you'd be able to write a minute for it and... Do it.
Fuck, do it and get decent. Just do it. Would you be able to go through it? You know, like, once you get down there in the mothership, would you sign your name on the fucking card?
I think I'd sign my name, but once I got up there, I'd be like, fuck. There was 200 other people you could have picked.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that if you get picked and you're like, that they're pretty good about, like, you know, juicing you up before you go on.
Yeah.
Like, if I was doing what they were doing, if they got a production going, well, they don't have to.
Yeah.
But it's better for them.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, you know, put a girl back there, put somebody back there, like, juicing these people up, making them feel good. Yeah. Like they're supposed to be there. Because everybody's got imposter syndrome at this point. You know, like, you're fixing to go on Kill Tony. Like, they've got a name for themselves. Yeah. Like, you know, do what you can to get them ready.
Uh-huh.
Like a fluffer.
Yeah.
You know, like a... You know, get him hard before he comes out here, you know?
Get him ready to rip. And then they also do have the band, which is sick. And they always, like, anybody that comes out, they open them up with the band, which it's got to juice you up a little bit.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I've never seen Kill Tony.
Oh, okay.
I've only seen clips.
Yeah.
You know, and they're great.
Yeah.
But I've never... So they juice everybody up with the band.
Yeah, the band.
Every time somebody comes out.
Every time they come up, they bring him out proper.
No
way. This is their minute.
This is like, then, your time to shine.
It's
Don't
also
fuck
sick,
it up.
Like, after that, when they're roasting him, sometimes the band will, like, join in.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta at least listen to one on your drive down to Daytona.
Okay.
They're all on Spotify, so you can listen to it. Sometimes it's better to watch, because
they
usually talk shit about the person, and you're like, I want to see what this fucker looks like.
What about the guy who's, like, you know, gone viral with the fucking voice box? Or the phone. He types into his phone.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen him, but I've heard him, I think.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they have a lot of disabled people that come on there, and they're usually the funniest. They rip the hardest. They could take the jokes the best. It's
no
cool.
Shit. Do people, like, lose their shit and get real offensive or, like, you know?
Like, bummed?
Yeah, bummed.
Not... Really? Like, usually before they get pissed, they just shut down.
You
know? Yeah. Just shut down.
Is there a stand-up club here?
Yeah. I haven't been to it yet, but there's one. It's pretty close. There's, like, the Fillmore, and there's, like, a few venues around it.
Yeah.
I think they've got a comedy club over there. I think Shane Gillis is playing there soon, but the tickets were, like, crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, so.
Fucking get sponsored by Budweiser. You know, nice big time and everybody.
Yeah.
I love it. I fucking love it.
I guess Derek's brother went to college with him.
Really?
He's buddies with him and said he's always just been that funny dude.
Oh, you can tell. He's just like...
He's always been that guy.
The fucking class clown, you know, since kindergarten, you know? Yeah. Like, he's always got a joke. Yeah, he's a funny dude. He really is. And he's like, what I like about him is he's like a, he's not like a comedy funny, but not like a stand-up. Like, he's got a different style. Like all the bits that he used to do, like, just the, like, where he would film. Like, he would play characters, you know? Like, he's fucking jerking off on OnlyFans to supply for his wife and kids, you know? Like, that shit's like his own Saturday Night Live bits, you know?
Yeah. It's more of like him being a funny dude than like...
Like fucking Chappelle.
Yeah.
Like the Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
Did so well.
Yeah.
I want to go to his spot in Ohio.
Oh, he's got a comedy...
Yeah, he's got his own... Well, I don't know if it's like his spot, like Rogan has the mothership, but it's like, you know, he's got
a... He's got a stakehold there.
Yeah.
Performs there a lot.
Yeah. I seen Rogan. I seen Segura.
How's Rogan? Was he funny?
dude, I was fucking so sick. And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
He did a bit. Oh, my God. I've never seen him do it since then or anything close to it. You know what Bucky's is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was so good. He just talks about, like, all these rich oil tycoons, like, in a meeting, fucking high on cocaine. They're like, let's build a gas station with 100 pumps.
It's going to be the biggest one you've ever seen.
It's going to be like fucking Walmart on steroids for gas.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. But it was cool to see him do that in Texas before he moved to Texas. Like, you know, specifically saying something to that audience. You know, like, I mean, I really appreciate the art form of comedy on, you know, like, on a level, you know,
where it's totally.
Like I do appreciate the stuff it's they're hard, able to communicate. Like, yeah. Well, like, I appreciate the message that they're getting across. Like, they've been talking about a lot lately where, like, society needs somebody to poke fun so that people can see things differently. Like, you know, like the kings used to have a jester, right?
Yeah.
So the jester's job was to say things that everybody else was scared to say because the king would just kill you.
Yeah.
Where the jester can say it and
he's allowed.
He can get away with it, like, trying to make a joke. Even if the joke doesn't land, he is saying it and the king is hearing it. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
yeah.
That message or that whatever he's saying didn't come from nothing. It came from stuff he'd seen. And,
yeah.
You know, like, as a way of communicating to the people in power. You know, because, like, a lot of people fuck up when they get, like, you know, rich and famous is one way to look at it, where they don't have somebody around them. Like, Trump's a great example. Like, he would have done so much better if there was somebody standing next to him going, hey, don't say it like that, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, say, like, it a little better.
That wasn't necessary. Yeah. Like, you didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like, well, and that's kind of like what the jester's job is to, like, well, it's even more than that. It's like, you know, communicate things that you wouldn't necessarily see in a position of power.
Yeah, I mean, keep people in check.
And, like, right now, I think we need that more than ever. And I think, like, Shane Gillis is a great example, you know? He's like, you know, like the Budweiser incident, you know? Like, yeah, fuck, they fucked up, you know? But it's just, you know.
Yeah.
We can get past this.
We can get past this.
We still like beer, yeah. You know? Like,
you guys are still going to drink the beer. Come on.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. But I would like to go to the mothership. I tried to go at one point on my chopper once before he was living in Austin when he was, like, I guess it was during COVID when he was playing, like, one of the whatever the bar.
Yeah.
There's a whatever bar it was that was popular. Not that he was popular, but it was like a comedy show
where
every once in a while you would see Rogan was there.
Yeah.
Fuck, I can't think of the name of it. I went to the Laugh Factory in L.A. once.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
I mean, I didn't make it inside.
Yeah.
I just rode my bike there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, comedy's got a good... No, my favorite guy, honestly, to see live in the flesh was Nate Bargatze.
Never heard of him.
Oh, dude. It was like... My dad bought tickets and couldn't go. He's like, hey, Dan, you want to go? I'm like, yeah. Sure. I've seen the guy. He's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Totally clean humor. Like, you could, you know, your fucking four-year-old could watch it. And it's totally clean, and it's fucking hilarious.
And it killed. That's hard to do.
I know. That's why I was, like, so impressed with it. You know, like, I saw Tom Segura, like, a couple weeks before that, and, you know, he went hard in the paint, you know? I'm like, dude, that's making me uncomfortable, you know? Like... I'm laughing uncomfortably at what you just said.
Yeah.
Where Nate was, like, saying hilarious shit. And it wasn't uncomfortable laughs. It was, like, you know, just funny shit.
Funny to everybody.
Yeah, it was great. Nate Bargatze. Yeah. And I guess it's a lot of self-deprecating humor, you know, where he, like, he makes fun of himself.
Yeah.
But yet everybody can relate to him.
Yeah.
So.
Everybody can relate to that.
Yeah. It's like, fuck. He's good. He's real good. And then, I saw Joe. Dude, I fucking surprised my wife. I was in South America. I got held up at a bunch of roadblocks, stuck in this place in Ecuador.
It's
all fucked up. But I wanted to get home for 4th of July, and I think Rogan was playing July 3rd.
Okay.
So my wife, I think my dad, a couple people in the family were all like going to this event. I flew in from South America, went from the airport straight to the venue, mm-hmm. and was sitting in the seat when my wife showed up. She had no idea that I was got out of the fucking country. Yeah. You know? Oh, dude, she lost her shit.
That's so cool.
It was so good.
Probably crushed too. It was probably a sick show.
It was. And he had he used to take around this guy. It was the same guy I saw with him a couple years before that. It was him and Tony and some black dude who's not around much. Like I've only seen him live. Like,
yeah.
Tony or Joe doesn't talk about him, doesn't come on the podcast,
mm-hmm. but he
brings him on tours every once in a while. He was fucking great. Fuck, I wish I remembered his name. That's just good. It's real important right now too.
It is.
Change people.
You need it.
See things from different perspectives. You know, we're in a wild time right now.
Yeah.
I mean, we really are.
We really are, dude.
Fuck, man. On the way here, and I was sick as fuck going to Milwaukee. And I decided today the next article for Choppers, I got to write about Mama Tried and the whole experience there because it was out there. But I think on Friday, was it Saturday morning maybe? AT&T phone service went out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. Yeah. Have you seen Leave This World Behind?
No, but I was...
Oh, shit.
Once that shit happened, I was like, dude, that's all you got to do.
Dude, like we're you... fucked. Yeah, AT&T, you know, just start taking out all the major carriers. Yeah. But I was just like, fuck, man, I should have put... I got a big-ass, like, auxiliary diesel tank.
Yeah.
I should have put that on my truck and filled it up. That way, in case something happens, I can make it home without having to stop and try.
You got to think about that nowadays.
Dude, that's where we're at.
Like, oh, shit, I'm just on a trip right now. I should have prepped before I came.
I did prep, but I didn't.
I should have prepped.
I should have prepped better, dude. Yeah. I should have prepped better, dude. Fuck. Well, then it got me thinking, like, going to Daytona when the country shut down. That was, like, right after, like, Mama Tried got shut down, and they're... Oh, Daytona's not getting shut down. And then people were in Daytona like, we don't know if they're going to let us out of the state to go home.
That's where I was when it hit. I was in Daytona when...
Were you?
When COVID hit. But I think it was still like early enough to where everybody in Florida didn't give a shit. And we were leaving and we were just hearing reports from everybody else.
Florida never gave a shit.
No, yeah.
Everybody was getting reports from elsewhere.
Yeah, and we're like, we got to get home.
Yeah.
I think we got to get home.
What were you doing in Daytona?
I was at Bike Week.
Bike Week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it happened.
Yeah.
You go to Boogie East that year?
No, I think I missed Boogie East. I went to Willie's, though. And then my buddy Matt, I don't know if you've ever met Matt Walm before, but he's a chopper dude in Virginia. His parents have a place down there, so we'd just go down there and hang out.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. You going to go this year?
No. Like right now.
Tomorrow.
No, I'm going to record tomorrow.
Oh, that's right, dude.
Yeah.
So you've been playing music this whole time too, or what?
Yeah, kind of off and on. Like, I actually didn't play much with anybody until I moved to New York again. Like, I had an electric kit because I was living in apartments and stuff. And then when I moved to North Carolina, I think I had sold everything and, like, left my drum set at my parents' house. And then it was funny. I was actually dating this girl in New York, and she lived with her ex, and she told me that up front. And it was just like,
I mean, I bet that shit happens up there.
Oh, totally. And it was COVID, so you couldn't find a place to live, and it was whatever. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I get it. I've been there.
I'll come over and fuck you while your ex-boyfriend's still there.
But it was always like, oh, he's coming over. You got to go home. I was like, are these fools still like...
Yeah, what is like, going on here?
Like, she doesn't really want me to meet him. I don't really want to meet him either, but whatever. And then One day I was talking about music, and I was like, oh, yeah, I play drums, like, and I was, like, super into blues. I was like, I've been looking for people to, like, play some blues music with. And she was like, this is kind of weird, but my ex is, like, a really good blues guitarist, and he's been looking for people to play with. Would you want to play music with him? And I was like, shit.
That is
right,
fucking
whatever.
Weird.
I was like, shit, all right.
So
whatever.
Weird. So that she was like, okay, you guys can meet each other now?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, all right, cool. At least they're not sleeping with each other anymore, but... whatever.
Maybe.
Maybe, but whatever. This is weird. But ended up jamming with him a bit. He was a ripping guitarist. Great dude. That got me like back into music, though. And then when I moved back to Charlotte, it was just like I was playing by myself. I couldn't really find any play to play with. And one of my buddies, Zach Bynum, who you met Zach. He's got the big beard. He was here the other night.
Yeah.
And he's buddies with Joe, who I play with now. And we saw Joe's other band play, and I was like, oh, dude, that guy's a ripping guitarist. It'd be cool to jam with him sometime. And I just started talking to him, and we started playing music together. He had, like, a bunch of solo stuff he'd written over COVID that he wanted to play outside of his band. And so we've been playing all that.
What's he doing in the other band?
He's a singer and guitarist in the other band, but they're, like, a little bit harder. Like, I wouldn't say they're hardcore, but they're, like, a little bit heavier, like, doomy kind of music.
Yeah.
And he wrote some more like bluegrassy blues.
You play the blues?
What's that?
You play the blues?
Yeah. I mean, our band, we're not playing like blues, but...
You're not playing 12 bar?
No, but I love blues music, so we got a little bit of that in there.
What else other bands do you play with? What other...
I mean, in high school, I played in hardcore bands.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the extent of it, and, like, a little bit out of high school. And then when I, like, moved to Boston, I kind of just, like, fell out a little bit because I couldn't bring my drum set.
Yeah. It's got to be tough in the city.
Yeah.
Being a drummer.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have a gig. Like,
yeah,
you got to have a place.
Yeah. I mean, like, in Boston, there's, like, practice spaces and things like that where you could, like, go. I think I did that once maybe where I went and, like, rented
a
drum kit.
Yeah, you had a Harley.
Well, no, they'd have drum sets there.
Well, I'm just saying, but you had a Harley.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah, but I'll play with this instead.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
But yeah, got back into music the last couple of years, and it's been sick.
It's fucking fun, right?
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Because that was like my first love before motorcycles. And then I was kind of going to music school a little bit just out of high school, and I met a dude there that had a chopper. He had a Survivor CB750 like swing arm chopper that was all raked and molded tank and everything, and I was like, this is bad as fuck, dude, like this is the coolest thing ever. And then like from there I like bought that Honda, that XL250,
yeah.
And then it was just like game over from then on. It was just make motorcycles ever since.
Yeah I mean, that kind of happened to me. I fucking
Yeah,
was playing music and then found motorcycles.
Yeah.
Now I've kind of like brought the music back.
Yeah. Yeah, and Joe, who I play with, he rides too. And like you were saying, your band is a bunch of dudes that ride.
Mandatory.
It's kind of like, I don't think it's mandatory for us, but we're like, other dudes, they should ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it mandatory,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it'd be pretty
just,
sick.
Just make, I mean, we let our bass player slide. You know,
yeah,
because he's got a big bass. You
yeah,
know, like, you
yeah,
know, I can't put that
hard
on
to find
bike.
A good bass player.
And
too.
We need somebody to haul this shit.
Yeah,
day,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Fuck. And we're recording right now. You know, we didn't sign up for that. Our lead singer wanted to do a solo album. Like, not that he wanted to do something without us. I think he just wanted to do something, and he was like,
"Yeah, you want to do something."
He was like, "I don't know if these guys even want to do."
You
want
to wait
know,
up like, for them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're all on the solo album.
Sick.
Yeah.
Full band on the solo album.
Yeah. But I'm like, dude, of course we're going to back your play.
Yeah.
You know, like, if that's really what you want to do. And I think I've probably been, like, the biggest, what would you call it? I'm the most difficult person in the band to deal with.
Yeah.
Essentially, you know.
Yeah,
because like,
you're gone all the time.
Gone all the time. And I'm like real specific on how I want to do things. Yeah. You know, it's like, like he wanted to record an album when I first joined the band and everything clicked off. We're like, oh, all right, this works. You know, I was like, dude, let's record an album. And I'm like, cool. I don't want to go to the studio. Like, I've done a studio before.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're not doing this for a living. So, like, let's just go. You know, the amount of time it would take to record in a studio and the cost, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how about we just go record it on our own and go have fun? Like, make the priority fun.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how I live my life.
It's like, it's the way to do it.
Like, it's tough, dude.
Yeah,
like,
it's tough, but it's the way to do it.
But so that's what we did. We, like, we found a spot, the Cosmic Shed. Mm-hmm. We showed up with skateboards and motorcycles. We played music during the day, and then we skateboarded. And then we played music at night.
Mm-hmm.
And just did that for a weekend and recorded shit. And, and it was sick as fuck.
Yeah.
We never even put it out on the internet. It's only on vinyl.
Sick.
Yeah, like, you gotta want, you gotta want it.
Yeah.
Dude. But I get it. He wants to make something more digestible, you know, like that people can listen to a lot. And
yeah.
It's good. It's coming together.
Sick.
Dude, we get to play some sick-ass shows. Like, I've been real specific on the where and how we play. And, like, you know, I'm like, I mean, I act like, yeah, I mean, I just treat this as a treasure. You know, it's like, instead of, you know, I played in a bunch of bands, and we were always just like, we'll play wherever, like, wherever we'll we can get a gig. You know, like, we'll play the same town three nights in a row, you know, like, fuck the venue. Like, I, you know, like, not that I was thinking that. I didn't realize how much I was fucking the venues.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like, we'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Now I realize, like, you know, it doesn't work, like, it doesn't work that way. Like, when you go on tour, right, you, like, leave one town, you go play 10, 20, 30 others. Mm-hmm. And then you come back to that first town, it's like, it's better.
Yeah.
It's because you haven't been around.
Yeah.
Like, they're not sure if
you're
coming back.
Play it every night.
So it's like, you know, like to make it more, I don't know, sacred is really, I guess, what I've tried to turn the band into is something that's like not only a privilege to play in, but a privilege to see and be a part of.
And, yeah.
And put prioritizing like the experience in the show. More than, you know, the sound or money.
Shows,
or the quantity. Yeah. Like Border Free Texas, great example. You know, yes, I want to help this event do good. You know, they gave us a mission. Hey, you know, we want you to play on this stage outside of the main area to get everybody to leave the main area.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, cool. We can help out.
Yeah.
And then I was helping the Ives brothers set up the Wall of Death, and I was just standing on that trailer, and I'm like, this is where we should play.
Yeah.
It's outside the main area. You know, like,
it's got a stage.
Like,
ready.
I'm gonna knock out all their exes, and then, dude, that's been great. You know, at the Fandango, we just play in the fucking parking lot, and it's sick.
Sick.
Yeah,
we've been selective about our shows too.
It's tough.
Well, I'm kind of like on your early wavelength where like I just want to play because I haven't played in so long.
Yeah,
I
just
want
to
play whatever fucking show.
Yeah.
Let's play whatever. And Joe, he's like, his band's toured. He's played a bunch of shows. He's like, I just want to play
the right shows.
The right shows.
Yeah.
Which so far, I think.
Well, see, and it takes time to play a show, but it takes a lot of time to get ready for a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, you like. I would rather, instead of going and playing a bar downtown on a fucking Friday and Thursday, Wednesday, Saturday, whatever, I'd rather just go hang out with my boys and play music.
Yeah.
You know, and not have to entertain a crowd.
Yeah.
And spend time doing that
yeah.
and like honing whatever we're trying to put together.
Yeah.
You know, and then break it out for the public every once in a while.
Yeah. The last show we played was sick. It was a dude in town lost his leg on his bike. So we did a benefit show for him at the Tipsy Burrow, which which is the sister bar to the Thirsty Beaver.
Okay. full circle.
But it was just so sick. It was pissing rain that night. Like, it was pouring ass rain, and they had such a big crowd. I think it was one of, like, it was probably, like, second best, I think they said second best night they'd had there. And so many people showed up for this dude. And he was a bass player for some people back in the day. And so a bunch of his, like, old music friends came out, and their bands played. And it was just, like, these old dudes that shredded. They were so good. They were so good. And, like, I think it was... I think it was maybe our fourth show, and it was, like, the first show that I feel like we were just on it. Like, we were just fully on.
It was all clicking.
Yeah, all clicking. And then all the old dudes after were stoked on us, and then they were ripping on in their sets. And I'm just like, this is so cool.
What kind of set are you playing?
Drum set?
Yeah, drum set.
I've had the same D drum set since I was, like, 14, but I've been... looking hard right now for vintage kits.
Really?
I'm looking for like a Ludwig or like a Slingerland.
It sounds like your fucking D drum is vintage.
It is not at this point. but yeah.
Wait, what do you got? A kick, a snare, yeah, two toms, four toms?
Four piece, so it's kick, one
tom tom, one
rack floor tom,
tom,
one floor tom, and a snare. And then I've got like a ride and a crash and a hi hat. So it's pretty simple setup.
Yeah. That's all you need.
All you need.
That's more than you need, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. There's some, like, I think one of our, like, first few shows, I was just, like, so, like, trying to stay on it that I didn't, like, play any fills the whole time. I was like, I didn't even touch the toms the entire set.
Good. Don't.
But I was like, I guess I don't need it for it.
You know? Oh, dude, I can play with the snare. I mean, I can play with just a snare.
Yeah.
Brushes, sticks, whatever. Throwing the kick. Yeah, I can do the kick and the snare. Mm-hmm. Kick, snare, hi-hat.
Kick, snare, hi-hat is all you really need.
Kick, snare, hi-hat, and that fucking crash ride over there.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
But now I think what I play now is kick, snare, hi-hat, floor tom, mm-hmm. full-on, like, Z ride, and then a crash cymbal.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all you really need.
Love it.
Yeah, I've played with that a few times with no rack tom and just like just done just the floor tom.
The rack tom's like, a distraction. Yeah. I mean, what are you adding with that? Yeah. Like, really, what are you adding with that? Yeah. I mean, like, oh, I can.
Oh, shit. No one turned that off.
I mean, really, what are you adding with the rack tom?
A little lighter. A little lighter, but I'm dumb. I don't know.
Oh, dude, I like keep it simple, stupid. That's what I was always taught.
Yeah.
The floor tom, I think, you know.
You get some rhythm off the floor tom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like a bass accent.
Yeah.
Or like the ghost note to a bass.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah.
Or... That's what I normally use. Yeah, that's. I think the stop.
Yeah.
The stops is what I use it for. It's the snare, kick drum, and floor tom.
Yeah.
And just to have both hands come down at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's more of a visual.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is more of a visual. Because the kick and the snare do the job just fucking
totally.
Fine. You know?
Totally.
But you know what I play is a Pearl Export kit.
Okay.
That I got when I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had a fucking Mapex. I've had a fucking couple of sick-ass Ludwig drum sets.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid a lot. I think I had a... No, I mean, I did. I had... I mean, did I technically own it? Not really, but I had a DW set for a while.
Shoot, that's always kind of been my...
But, dude, fuck all that shit, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go play, like, if you're going to hit the road...
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Feel like.
Well,
like,
really, it matters.
Yeah.
It matters that you can make the drums sound the way you want them to sound.
Yeah.
Now, do you need a fucking DW drum set to make the sound you need?
No.
Most of the time, 99.9% of the time, no.
Yeah.
I got a Chad Smith snare drum.
Okay.
And Pearl Export kit kick and floor tom. And I pulled the, what do you call it? The laminate?
Oh, like the wrap on it?
Yeah, I pulled the wrap off of it. And stain the wood.
Yeah. I helped a buddy do that one.
Fucking wood.
Yeah.
At one point, I fucking wrapped them all in like this fucking crazy fur.
Oh, sick.
Dude, it was real sick. That shit got nasty.
I bet.
Fuck.
I bet. Did it muffle the tone a bunch too?
Yeah, but I play a muffled tone. Like like I, you know, the kick, I'm fucking throw a giant pillow, whatever's in, you know, throw that in there, muffle that. I muffle my snare drum with tape and gel, you know, whatever I can fucking put on there. Not that I wrap my snare. And the floor tom is like a boom. You know, like I'm not trying to get like long echoes out of anything.
Yeah, just a
you know,
short
like,
little boom. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Pearl Export Kit is pretty good fucking bang for your buck.
Yeah. I see them all the time. They're cheap on there.
They're cheap and they're fucking cool. Well made.
Yeah.
They're really, I mean, bang for your buck, they're hard to beat.
Yeah.
Because like even in Mapex, you know, I mean, really all the, they all make great shit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my D-drum's great.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds incredible.
Yeah.
There you go. Dang, I kind of want like a nice kit.
What's not nice about it?
I don't know. It's like made in Taiwan, like some, I don't know.
I mean, I would love to, there's a couple of companies I would love to make me some drums.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like one of those things, like, all right, I've been playing it for so long. Me and Derek talk about this all the time. He just bought a Gibson Les Paul. Like, you just want like your nice instrument, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my fucking, my road dogs.
Yeah.
It's my Pearl Export kit is, too. Yeah. What I want is like some fucking cases for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that I can pick them up and throw them across the room and they're going to be fine. Yeah. That's what I want. Yeah.
It's funny. I have cases for my drum set. Whenever I go play a gig, I don't put them in because it's just like, I'll just put it in the van. They fit in the van.
Yeah.
And I hate doing the setup before the show, but I need to get better.
What kind of heads do you run?
They're like Evans. They're like gel Evans heads.
Fucking pinstripes.
Yeah. Yeah. They're
double,
like
double coated.
Yeah. I like muffled too, but I usually don't put anything on my head, so I just run like the thickest ones I could get kinda.
Mm-hmm. I just do ambassador coated.
Oh yeah.
Mainly because I play brushes. Like I want to be able to like get that friction.
Yeah. I think I have that on my snare, yeah.
Even on the fucking floor tom.
Yeah.
Ka-doom.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom.
Mine are coated in something. It's like some gel coat thing.
Oh, they're coated?
Yeah.
They're not clear?
No. They're clear coat, like with a coat on it.
What do I run on my fucking snare drum? I run a fucking.
My snare is like a.
Not my snare. I run on my kick drum. It's like one of those fucking. It's got the pad all the way around the outside.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
I mean, I don't even run a fucking bottom back head on.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, just drop the mic right on the pillow.
Right there.
Fuck, sounds great, dude.
Yeah, I bet.
It does.
I keep seeing these vintage kits online when I've been looking that don't even have lugs on the bottom. Where they're just like...
No.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
They didn't do it.
No, they did not do that. No, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
Dude, those guys used to play so fucking bad, dude.
Dude.
Buddy Rich, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any classical training?
No.
Like, do you know your rudiments?
I feel like I used to. Your paradiddles and your
falafels and your flams and your drags.
I used to know a bit of them. Jake was actually marching band. He was like snare marching band. So he was asking me that if I know like the paradiddle diddle. And I was like, damn, I cannot remember.
Right, left, right, right, left, left.
Can't remember how that went. And he was trying to explain it to me. And I'm like,
that's too much.
That's too much for my brain right now.
That's what I do for practice. Like, I don't even play my drum set for practice.
Oh, you just got the practice pad.
Pad.
Yeah.
Fucking play rudiments.
Yeah.
Exercises.
Yeah. I can play them if I'm looking at like a sheet, but when Jake was trying to like be like, oh, it's like right, right, left, I'm like, I need to see it on paper.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, left, right, right, left, left.
I can't comprehend right now, brother.
Dude, you know, one thing I didn't have growing up was the YouTube.
Yeah.
There are some great videos on YouTube to just.
Yeah. I can't pay attention to those either.
You don't play traditional, play match grip, I imagine.
Regular, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's not regular, that's match grip.
Match grip.
Yeah.
Damn, dude, I don't know shit.
Regular's like this. Traditional.
That's traditional. Oh, okay. That's regular?
Yeah, I mean,
well, shit.
At one point it was. Yeah. Maybe not regular now.
What do
dude.
You play? Do you play
both?
Both?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I love playing traditional.
Yeah. I'll try it sometimes when I'm practicing. I'm like, this is kind of cool.
Oh, it's back. Fucking great. It's just like a... I mean, I guess it's also the way I play, too. And I love having a different sound. Mm-hmm. You know, a match grip, you can get the same sound. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I mean, that's what you want, is to be able to get the same sound of each stick.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
like
yeah.
The like fluctuation that, yeah. that playing two different styles brings.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking drums, man. I got like 6 tracks to record when I get back. I don't even know the songs. Haven't heard them.
How does that? How do you? What's your process when you do that? Do you just listen to? Do they have already recorded like the other tracks?
This is a little different than I've ever done before. Yeah. I don't think they planned on me being involved as much.
Yeah.
When they started this.
Yeah.
So right now there's a instead of having like a click track. Mm-hmm. They have like a drum track. Like same, you know, like
just
a,
like electric, whatever. Something.
Yeah. Yeah,
backing it.
That they're playing. And then I'm just playing snare drum on this. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be stoked about that. I think yeah. they want the full drums, but fuck, I want to play one drum. Mm-hmm. You know, it's back to simple stupid. It's like, I don't want to like, I just want to like, you know, add a backbone to it. And I really love the idea of the stand-up bass being that thump.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Instead of worrying drums, about my kick
yeah.
drum.
Yeah.
So we're trying it. You know, like, I may end up going back and throwing kick drum on everything. Mm-hmm. Right now, they've recorded most of it, and I just go in and play drums right behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, normally in the past, it's like either we're all playing at the same time or somebody goes in and lays a rough down with lyrics and rhythm. Mm-hmm. And then I go in and lay the drums to a click track, mm-hmm. which is, you know, really the ideal way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start with the drums on the metronome.
Yeah.
But it's kind of handy because I don't fucking play as much as I used to. So, like, you know, sticking to a metronome exactly for 3 minutes, you know, or 2 minutes or a minute and a half. I mean,
yeah, it's you know, tough.
Good enough for most people, but.
Yeah, but what's your, how do you write your drum stuff? Do they, you listen to it a few times first, and you're like, all right,
all feel. Let's go. All feel.
Yeah.
All feel. I, you know, I just try and stabilize and accentuate. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to show off or mm-hmm. like.
Trying to back the track.
I'm just trying to like, you know, maybe add some energy, but just like, just be the rhythm, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you need some. That's it, yeah.
Dude. I mean, you know, one of my favorite things to do is just play really fast punk rock music.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not doing that right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not in shape to do that. Like, literally, maybe 15 seconds.
To play fast
like,
enough.
Whoa, yeah. Oh, damn.
God, yeah. I do miss playing hardcore shows. Those were always so much fun.
So much fun, dude.
I don't know if I'd want to be in a hardcore band again, but I'd like to play a show.
I mean, it's you don't just get to do that.
Yeah,
like, there's a fucking whole life that comes with that. You know, like, to, like, really be in one and, like, have it all come together for a show.
Yeah.
You gotta live some shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Where were you doing that? In California?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever heard of the venue, the Cobalt Cafe?
No.
It was just like a room, basically, like a shitty hardcore venue in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And, but like all the big bands would come through there. And so that's like usually where my band would play. We'd just like open for some.
Nice.
Band coming through. And it was sick. It was a cool ass venue.
Dude, I played some legendary spots in California. And I don't even remember the name of them.
Yeah. We played the Whiskey one time and it sucked.
It sucked.
Just because it was like the worst. We played after the headliner. And so everybody was gone already.
Like
and
the cool-down band?
Yeah, which was so weird, but we were just so stoked to play the Whiskey. But it was like us and then like our friends watching us.
What about that fucking venue they were talking about last night? Your boy, where they like treat everybody like rock stars, unload all their gear.
Oh, in Atlanta? I want to go there. That sounds sick. I want to go. I'd never heard about it before.
Nobody. Sign me nobody's up. Ever heard about that place. They've heard about that dream.
I don't know. If I play the Beaver, though, they give me free beer.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's a rock star.
Dude, we played one spot in like, I wish I remember the name of it. Like the, oh, my gosh. It was so good. It's like on a fucking hilltop. Little bitty small bar.
Where in California, though? Like northern?
That's what I'm trying to think. It was like San... It was north... It was north of L.A. Or like in northern L.A. I keep thinking what it's called, the Go-Go, but it's not. It's like...
It's on the water?
No. You could see the water maybe in the distance. Mm-hmm. I was there at night. Mm-hmm. It was north of Huntington Beach. Fuck.
Might be out of my realm. I didn't hang out in Orange County much. Dude, I'd never been paid for a show up until like a few months ago, and that was cool. Even just getting like $40 after money, the show, you're like, what?
Dude.
What? This is cool. Like, I just had a blast on the stage. You're going to give me $40? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think the first time I got paid... I still owed him money. They were like, hey, man, we gave you $100 tonight, but you drank $150 worth of booze.
What the hell? But that was included.
Yeah, some places it is, yeah. Some places it
sometimes
is.
Sometimes it's not.
You know, it's from bar to bar. It's different, you know. Yeah, but I like what we're doing now. We're just playing, like, fucking motorcycle events. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to play the Fandango. We're going to play Nitty Gritty Chopper City. We may play Tennessee. Oh, I haven't really solidified that yet.
That'd be cool.
Dude, my friend's band's playing. That is so fucking bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of music?
Let me see your phone. We're going to fucking close this show out right now. These guys, the first time I toured California, we opened up for these dudes. We did a whole fucking West Coast tour. These guys played the venue I was just talking about that I can't think of. Dude, these guys are fucking bad. All right, Drunk as Hell, Wookie Pussy, Shooting Guns, Crazy Uncle Blue, or Made in the USA?
What's number one?
Shooting Guns.
Let's shoot some guns. Oh, we are connected.
Oh, it's connected. Anyways, Whiskey Dick is playing Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival.
Sick.
It's two dudes. On acoustic guitars
mm-hmm.
that are fucking heavy metal as fuck.
Notice there like a lot of the heavy metal dudes went to country.
Oh, these guys were doing it. Like, they were friends with Dimebag and Vinny.
Sick.
And like doing this when they were live.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, really legit. Yeah.
Dude, that's the song. It is. I mean,
you could make it play on the phone if you want.
They, dude, they're so much fucking fun. It's gonna be hard to find. They've done a bunch of fucking, a bunch of albums. Good Buddy Devil, Drunk as Hell, Drunk as Hell. Yeah, if you guys are curious as to what to do with your life, Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival on Thursday night is going to be bad as fuck. Jim Beam and me.
When?
Rebel Flags and Whiskey.
When
Wookie
does
Pussy.
That go on? April? We went 1 year. It was sick.
It was so sick.
You want to play it on the phone?
Yeah, I was fucking disconnected it. Hey, Johnny, thank you.
Oh, Man, those are awesome, dude. Thank you.